My name is Andrew.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And I am Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And today we're going to do a review of the new NECA-controlled DC HeroClix 2010 on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 13 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at TabletopBattlefield.com. And in front of us here is the new DC HeroClix 2010 and also Andrew's Sinestro figure because it looks freaking cool. So here's the story behind this particular game. It's actually been around for a long, long time. I believe it originally debuted back in the 2000-2001.
About that time, yeah.
I don't know the exact year off the top of my head. I do know it predates MechWarrior Dark Age. It probably says in the... Is that the original starter kit
this
over there?
This is the original starter kit, yes.
So you can look that up for a minute. So, of course, this game was originally made by WizKids way back in the day. It basically is probably their most successful game of all time.
The only good one to actually be produced.
Well, good's good in terms of success.
Well, for WizKids, I mean?
For me, it was probably one of the best developed of them.
Yeah,
I mean, it was 2002 that the first starter set came out.
Yeah. And I guess at the very least, it was one of the original three games, or original three being Mage Knight, MechWarrior, and HeroClix that actually made it to when the company died.
Yeah,
because both Mage Knight, well, MechWarrior is never officially canceled, but it just kind of fizzled away, and they just pretended like they didn't. It's still here. We should start working on it. But anyway, on the continue the story behind this game, of course, 2008. Tops, who at the time was the parent company of the original WizKids company, shut the company down for basically unstated reasons.
The fact that they're an awful, awful company and that they need to be burned in hell.
Just like this, if you guys are new to the show, Kyle and the extreme side, me to the lesser extreme side, do have a bit of a pent-up rage towards WizKids for how they treated their MechWarrior customers.
Pent-up rage?
Okay. Well, whatever. We have more anger directed at towards them. Not going to lie, because of the fact they treated the MechWarrior customers like dirt. But we can talk about that more another time in the future. But anyway, so WizKids canceled, or Tops closed down WizKids, end of 2008. This is November 2008, I believe. November 13th to be exact, I think, or 11th, one of those days. But anyway, so what happened there is pretty much you've got multiple companies then, including Catalyst Game Labs, a new company called Pinata Games, and of course, eventually NECA, where basically all bidding for the rights to HeroClix as well as some of the other WizKids properties. Eventually, of course, NECA, which is the National Entertainment Collectors Association, won the rights to HeroClix, the WizKids name, as well as several of the other WizKids properties, not including MechWarrior and Shadowrun were not included in that, but the other ones were, as far as I know. So the NECA, they made premium action figures. So some of the things for the movies like, they had Halo was a video game they made. They had action figures based on the band Green Day. I want to say Twilight and stuff, you know, basically. Oh,
you're not making things better looking about them.
But they are like the kind of premium expensive action figures you would see, not the kind of toy stuff you'd find in Toys R Us and things. So anyway, like I said, they got the name WizKids as well, and eventually a little bit later they reopened a new WizKids company. I think some of the employees from the old WizKids company went to the new ones, some did not, because some of the old WizKids employees went to found Wells Expeditions, which made Arcane Legions. But anyway, the first thing the company did was basically relaunch HeroClix. Late last year they started releasing figures. Earlier this year they released the Brave and the Bold expansion set. And just about 2 weeks ago, they released their first starter set, The Blackest Night, being based on a Green Lantern comic series from 2009 of the same name. Yep. So a lot of the characters in here are all from that particular comic book series. So that's a pretty quick history behind this game. As for how it plays, it's designed to be a fast-playing superhero game. So there's obviously, this is the DC version, but there is a Marvel version that's going to be getting expansions coming later in the year. They're showing off the Spider-Man stuff. Yep. There's also an indie version where some of the independent comics also. But the idea is you basically have a team of superheroes and you beat the living crap out of each other. That's the idea of the game. It's how it works down. So what we're going to do now is unbox it, talk a little bit about game setup, run through some battle reports, and finally give our final review of this game. Now, just so you guys know, this game is still primarily the original WizKids company. Yeah. a lot of the rules are basically either identical or very similar to the original WizKids rules. Mm-hmm. It's not like they didn't do a lot of huge changes. There are a few small changes here and there. Some of the special powers have been reworded to be kind of clunky, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of little small changes. So this really isn't the total work of the new WizKids company. It's basically they're continuing the work of the old one.
Simple duct tape work.
That's a pretty good example. It's basically duct tape. They just changed a few things, tweaked a few stuff, and hopefully they're hoping it keeps sailing as it did.
Maybe nobody will notice.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens with the game. Anyway, ready guys doing some unboxing, even though it's already open?
That's such a great title for our...
Yes. Sure. Let's go ahead and look at the contents of what's inside the new DC HeroClix starter set. Here we go. This is what you're going to get inside the new DC HeroClix starter set, The Blackest Night.
A box.
A box, yes. A box and a plastic thing, too. It holds the figures. Ooh. Very cool. Now, this retails for about $30.
And you get
yes. The box alone is $30 because the pretty artwork on the side over here and the Green Lantern guy down in the corner. Now, inside the box, you do get 7 plastic figures. These are obviously, like I said, based on the characters of the Blackest Night comic book series. They're typical pre-painted, pre-assembled figures is what you get from most WizKids games. You get one single-sided map that's a Green Lantern theme. Looks to be some kind of like research laboratory or something. You get a handful of little tokens here for objects, blowing out walls, smoke,
boulders,
other crap like that. 2d6, and of course, an assortment of little stat cards for each of the characters. And also, you got a rule book as well as a powers card. And I think that pretty much covers it. Also, just from people watching the video out here, we've got the Sinestro figure, which is a limited edition figure from a long time ago. Don't worry about that.
Came out around the second expansion to the game.
That was a long time
first
ago,
or second then. Expansion. So right around 2002, 2003.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so this guy is not in part of the starter set.
No, he just looks cool.
Sinestro, isn't he the bad guy?
Yes, he is. He's the mortal enemy of Green Lantern.
Okay. And over here, I got 5 other figures I got out of a Brave and the Bold booster. So those aren't included starter set as well. So let's talk about what we like and what we don't like in terms of just overall component quality, art quality, and things like that. Let's have Andrew. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
And where's my little box? Check it down. Yes. The so sweet Haterade board is going online now. So what do you like, what do you don't like, Andrew?
We need to improve on that.
Someday we will.
In terms of the artwork, let's start out with the map. Sure. First off, haterade at the fact that it's not double-sided, because in the original starter set, when it first came out, it came with 2 maps that were both double-sided. So you got 4 different types of themed maps. I mean, one was a museum that you could destroy. Yeah. But and so there was a lot of variety you could do. So that's the one thing that I really don't like, is the fact that it's not double-sided, so the variety.
What about the artwork?
The artwork is really nice. I really like the artwork. And that's pretty much it. How well did it unfold?
It actually unfolded really well.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. That'll be our 2-minute game setup segment, because okay. That's all there is.
Maybe possibly due to the fact that it's only one-sided.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
But I think the Halo Action Clicks maps are one side, and they unfolded like crap. So I realize more how it's packaged and things. What about the figures?
Figures, they still look pretty well. They look pretty good compared to the original ones, although they do break as easily as... As they used to, so that would be a haterade for me, the fact that they still break.
As Jason has proven.
Yes.
Yeah, before I was recording one of the intros of the show where I did the tabletop battlefield thing, I screwed up, and I had the token sheets in my hand. I threw them down and broke off Mira's little trident she's carrying. Yep. Oops. Anger management class for me, I guess.
But the figures look pretty... The figures still look cool. The only other comment/complaints that I would have would be...
The dials
are inconsistent.
These dials are really inconsistent and really almost too smooth to move, because you see with a lot of the older ones, they're a little bit more steady.
Yeah. They're all
so it's so I could just imagine how easy it is to lose track with one of these guys.
Ryan, do you got anything, or do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, okay. I like the fact that the... they have the stat cards, so you know what the hell they are, as opposed to having to go to the powers and abilities book and look up each individual one every time you want to make a move. But so that's a cool thing that I really like.
Ryan?
The artwork is very nice. I do like the blood splatters. It provides a nice little effect for that. But I usually never like paper type mats. It just, I mean, for me, I'd rather, you know, first set just have, you know,
that
a
Haterade?
Board. Yes, that's okay. Definitely Haterade. And then you're right that these just don't twist very well, the bases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a Haterade for me, too. And the artwork, though, on the figures is very nice. I mean, I think my complaint, though, is, I mean, I don't know why, coming from whatever comic book they're coming from, their costumes are different.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah, I'm going to assume they look like what they're supposed to in the Blackest Night.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like,
but
the Flash is blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, it takes away from some of the originality of the superheroes, I think.
Yeah, because really I grew up with the Flash always being in the red uniform, so. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. For me, definitely the figures, they look awesome. These are some of the best sculpts I've ever seen WizKids produce. I mean, every single one's in the starter set anyway. They're really dynamic. They have really cool, like, showing off their special powers, like the little birds these kind of, that Scarecrow's launching. Yeah. Or Adam's, like, shrinking down.
I don't know
down.
What
Yeah, I don't know
power.
What the deal is with Mira.
It looks like she's puking up blood.
Yes. Yeah. It literally looks like, it's basically a stream of something red and attaches to her mouth.
Which doesn't make sense if it's fire because she's in underwater. She lives underwater with.
Well, I don't know her special ability, though. So.
Yeah, the mirror character's creepy, but they look really good. Like I said, these are some of the best WizKids figures ever. I would definitely have to complain about the dials, not because they're basically inconsistent. You think after doing this for 12 years of these click dials, they should get them right, in all honesty. Some are tight, like Wonder Woman here, her dial is really tough to turn. Mm-hmm. Some, like you point out to Adam, is like, wee, spin around all you want. You know? So the dials are just inconsistent.
Because I have a lot of my original ones are pretty consistent. There's only a few that are a little hard. So, yeah.
Artwork on the map is awesome. The fact that it's a one-side map is just cheap. Mm-hmm. That's a very cheap cost-cutting measure. And the other really terrible cost-cutting measures. Can you hand me the rule book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, this please. This is the ugliest rule book that I've ever seen for basically any kind of non-independent game.
It looks like a manual for...
Do you want the original rule book to compare?
Sure. What I wanted to get is actually the free Fantasy Flight rule book I had. That's like 1,000 times.
Oh, I was going to say, you can compare it to the original one, what the original rule book was.
Compare it to any rule book whatsoever.
Look at how nice that one is.
Yes. The new rule book has no cover. This has no pretty artwork on the front. It's all black and white. There's no artwork on the inside. So there's no, like, you know, those cool action shots that kind of break up the monotony of the text. The example images are absolutely tiny. The biggest one is about 2 square inches. And they're all in black and white. So when you've got a color map transcoded down to black and white, sometimes it can be tough to see what's going on.
Yeah.
The squares kind of mold together. It's a very generic rule book. I don't know if that one's like this, but there's no mention of, you know, of actual, like, character names. Because, you know, for example, like, I know even the MechWarrior rule book, they'd say, like, well, Mega 10 plays Fireman had a Purifier battle arm and a Fox demon car or whatever. And, you know, they actually name characters when they're doing the examples. And here it's just character A attacks character B. It does 3 damage to character B.
Which kind of worries me.
Yeah, they
the
don't.
Fact that this might be a very simple game.
Yeah,
to play.
They don't do that. They don't do that in this rulebook. They actually have the names tagged to the characters.
I forget why they do it. This is a generic rulebook. It's not even DC Heroclix in the front.
It just says Heroclix.
Yeah. It kind of scares me a little bit.
Ow! Well, you just hit me with that rulebook.
Oh, sorry about that, Cal.
You made me smacked.
So
there.
Anyway, yeah, that rulebook is ugly. But anyway, Kyle, what do you think about component quality?
Well, the map. Just like everyone else, it really one side. I mean, I hate paper maps to begin with, but one side is just pathetic.
What about how you like the artwork on it, though?
Artwork is very nice. I love the Green Lantern symbol in the middle of it. Very cool.
That is.
And shattered glass. So, component the figure how they look, they're amazing. They're beautifully done. You know, it shows the atom here. You know, going down small.
Yeah, shrinking down.
Shrinking down. Yeah. You know, shows fighting poses and different abilities. So, very beautiful. Obviously, they're pieces of junk when it comes to plastic and breaking. I mean, that's WizKids quality, hands down. I mean,
they are
Yeah, they're not as bad. Okay, yeah, they are kind of. Well, yeah. They're on par with other
WizKids products.
Other pre-painted miniatures. They're not as good as, say, Games Workshop or the War Machine plastic miniatures, but they're about on par with what WizKids usually produces.
Which is crap.
Yeah, right. Anything else?
Well.
No?
You know, inconsistency in dial is just a big pain.
And it's just so you guys know how bad it is, literally about all seven of the figures have like a different resistance to how you turn the dials. It's not like one figure's inconsistent, they're like all different.
And sometimes you might be afraid that a figure's going to snap off when you turn
it. One other thing about these figures that I just did not like is the way they... the facing?
Oh.
For this right here.
You're the MechWarrior figures, yeah.
Where you go like that, you have to turn around to see...
The stat windows in the front of the figure.
Yeah.
That's why it's always been in HeroClix figures, where the MechWarrior figures were in the stat window was in behind the figure, which made more sense than the stat windows facing the player controlling the figure.
That's the one thing that's just bugged me seeing
that. That is kind of ridiculous.
I never understood that because whenever... Because
you have to turn it around.
Yeah, because like when I played with you a while ago, I kept having to look to see what I had in order to...
Instead of being behind here, which you would be all looking.
Yeah, like the MechWarrior ones, you can just kind of tilt a little bit back towards you and put them right back down where they
were. And
then
you don't move them and pin... Well, in this case, you don't have to worry about square.
Yeah,
you know,
if you had to pick them up, you had to figure out where they were.
Exactly.
Okay, well, anything else you guys want to comment on the quality before we go to our super short game setup?
I mean... You know, I do.
You can't
like
just give them negative points for being WizKids. Oh.
Well, you know what? I will. Just for WizKids game. I was going to say something new. I like these cards, but you know what? It is WizKids through and through. I mean, you know, they can shiny it up, make it all pretty, but it's WizKids.
There'll be plenty of times to rag on them about that. Let's just go ahead and. All right, you ready to move on to the game setup section?
Might as well. All
right. Yep. Let's go ahead and get this, see how what takes to get this game set up. Let's talk about game setup for DC HeroClix, which, like I said, takes about 30 seconds. Because, well, it's pre-painted miniatures, nothing to assemble, nothing to paint. Punch a few cards out, and unfold the map, and you're ready to go.
Yep. At that point, all you got to do is build up your team, add up the points of your team, and...
But you got to be careful in unfolding maps.
Yeah, yes.
You rip this map, there you go. You don't have any other maps.
But I'll say, this map does unfold really well and lays really nice. Mm-hmm. It's better than the typical WizKids map, which doesn't unfold very well. This one really was really nice. Anyone else want to comment about the...
Yeah,
I was just kind of curious. I'm sorry, this could have been part of the setup.
Right. What's the question?
It's just this A through P and 1 through
that's
30.
That's just a grid to help figure out where your guy was, which I actually really do like.
Mm-hmm. So you could say I was in square G13.
Yeah. So like chess.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it
is. Okay. Which is nice because the previous maps that came in the previous starter didn't have that.
Okay. So that's something that
We'll give them a few bonus points for
I apologize for that.
You know, right? Not a problem.
That's fine.
All right, ready to go ahead and do some actual battle reports?
Yeah.
All right, this will be fun, hopefully.
Maybe.
Let's go play some DC HeroClix.
All right.
Here for the first battle, we've got Andrew, who's going to be taking on Ryan. In this particular case, they're actually going to be required to use only the new figures from the Blackest Night starter set, as well as the Brave and the Bold expansion booster I bought. So, Andrew, why don't you run us through your army and what you're playing with?
All right, I have...
We got the good guys, right?
Sort of. We got a couple of bad guys in here. we have the Green Lantern, the Atom, we have our Checkmate Pawn, he's a bad guy, Diana Prince, otherwise known as Wonder Woman, that's her... alias. Micron Ogenius over here. Then we have the Blue Flash and Superman right here.
One of the powerful Superman.
Yes.
And you, Ryan, what are you bringing to stop that crazy powerful Superman?
Let's I think I have most of the bad guys. They have Scarecrow, Lex Luthor, I have Brainiac, Mera, and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
So Wonder Woman's going to be fighting Wonder Woman.
No one has...
And over here, Kyle and I are going to play with the old figures with the new rules. So, who are you bringing to the table, Kyle?
Well, I got mainly Evil Batman, Catwoman, Clayface, Bane, Fatality,
and Harley Quinn, but Vitali's not from Batman.
I'm opposing them with Batman and a host of other characters, including Kami-Bot. I mean, Red Rocket. So
Red Rocket fights for the good.
Do we know what Red Rocket really is?
Who is Red Rocket?
Is it an actual DC comic?
No.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Oh, no.
Anyway. Wow. Let's get started playing the game.
In DC HeroClix, players alternate taking turns. On a given turn, each player can issue a set number of orders. The number of available orders depends on the initial build total of the force. An order can consist of one of several basic actions, such as a move, an attack, or the use of a special power.
What we have going on over here is the Scarecrow and Mira have just come up to start attacking the Green Lantern and the Flash, so we're going to see what's going to happen here.
Who's attacking who right now?
I'm attacking him because he used an action to move up towards me.
What's
so
up?
Who's attacking?
The Flash is going to be attacking the Scarecrow. You have a defense of 16. I have an attack of 10.
So what you do here is you roll 2d6 and add that to your attack value. If it's greater than or equal to the defense value, hit them.
I just did equal, so that was a 6.
Six
I needed
plus
a 10
is 16, which means the Scarecrow is hit. How much damage do you do?
2 green.
Damage in HeroClix is tracked using click styles attached to the figure's base. An area that is cut out on the top of the base shows the current status of the figure. As it takes damage, the figure's base is rotated, causing different values for the unit's movement, attack, defense, and damage to be displayed. At some point, the figure stats are replaced with multiple KOs to indicate that the figure has been defeated.
So at this point, you can see how the HeroClix games devolved into just a massive pileup in the corner, and we're rolling dice back and forth right now. What about you guys? Looks like you got two piles going here.
Well, we're about to have a second pile over here eventually. I'm trying to keep Superman away so he can laser beam the crap out of Lex Luthor and Wonder Woman. Over here, the Atom just got a critical hit on Mira and knocked her into the wall.
Yeah, she's hanging on to dear life now. She tried taking a swing, but it's not working.
Yeah,
well, pitchfork got broken, so.
Since DC HeroClix is played on a gridded map, movement is fairly simple. Each figure has a movement value, and this number normally translates into the number of squares the figure can move when given a move order. HeroClix also has some basic terrain, which can give characters cover, block line of sight, or give them a ledge from which characters can fall off.
So over here, Kyle just tried to attack Robin with Bane, pushing him, and the process rolled a critical miss. So therefore, Robin didn't die, and Bane took 2 damage, right?
Yep, immediately deal the attacking character unavoidable damage.
He knocked himself out.
This represents a weapon backfire, or your character straining or wounding himself during the action. So he must hit himself in the face.
Yes. Game's now over. Unfortunately, I lost to Kyle because it's kind of difficult to do anything when you got to roll 9s and 10s and 11s hit people.
So
but
it
happens
in
this kid's games
as
you guys get
one.
Weaker and the other opponent doesn't.
So by 1
at the end of the first game. So for battle number 2, we are doing a team match between Andrew, and that's Andrew over here, and that's Kyle, against Ryan and myself. And it looks like Andrew is bringing the army of the Flashes. Ash is backed up by a police officer. And looks like Kyle's got the random group of superheroes along with Commissioner Gordon. I've got
Commissioner Gordon leads them.
Batman and the Green Lantern, and we got a couple Hulks and some other characters over here.
Talk about irony.
Commissioner Gordon is now fighting Batman.
Yep. So at this point here, Andrew's been deploying his Flash spam attacks to do his little hypersonic speed all over the place. I've kind of cornered one here, did some damage to it. And Commissioner Gordon just shot the Hulk for 1 damage.
Which
but
won't
he
do anything.
Has toughness, so it's not going to do anything.
No, it's not toughness.
Oh, it's invulnerability.
So, yeah, now
it's minus 2 damage.
Oh, really? 2?
Yeah.
On his defense.
Whoops.
The most difficult aspect of HeroClix for new players to grasp is the sheer number of special powers. These special powers range from a sentence or two to several paragraphs in length.
Now, we referred to before as the Flash spam attack. Andrew's going to demonstrate such a tactic of this game. What are you going to do?
All right. I need to
figure out which target I'm going to hit. I only have 10 movement, so I got to choose this carefully. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Put me there.
No. See, the deal is the Flash can basically move, attack at some point during his movement. He's one of the few characters that can, making him really powerful if used right.
All right, so if I move here, you'd have to do hindering terrain anyways if you could somehow manage to shoot me. So I will move him through here and put him there for his 10 movement. Moving through here, I have the ability to strike any one of these guys during my movement because of the hypersonic speed ability. So I'm going to hit Aquaman over here and freaking take him out because he's annoying right now.
So the game finally ended here. Ryan and I basically eliminated their team and cornered, what's his name?
Firestorm.
Firestorm in the corner after he lost his phase. And he basically had to charge out against like four guys that could shoot at him. Okay, three guys, but still. Either way, that's the end of the game. Once again, Ryan and I won this one.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know.
That was really lame.
That whole running and gunning. Although it's probably just...
Oh yeah, running and attacking is lame. Look who's talking. Oh, yeah. It's a flash spam.
I can move 20 spaces per turn.
There we go. Our battle reports are done. It's time to give this game our final review and, of course, how we do it in the show. We go around for about 25 minutes, kind of going through point to point what we liked and what we didn't like about the game, and we'll give it a score up here. Obviously, everything we did like gets a good point. The so sweet side, everything we didn't like ends up on the haterade or the negative side. At the very end, we total it all up.
And smash Ryan in the face with a guitar.
And smash Ryan in the face with a guitar.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, we're trying something new here.
I see.
So got to get some new viewers, some people excited about the show. So might as well get some action
so
in there.
So we tie the game's fate in with Ryan's fate. If the game's bad, he gets smashed in the face with a guitar. If it's good, he survives.
Are you preluding to the game?
The married guy, I mean...
We're just doing that for fun. All right, let's get started here.
Yes, your husband will not be too pleased. I understand, but...
Your secret YouTube husband, yes. We all know about that.
But I'm sure he won't mind.
It's a long-standing joke from like 2 years ago on the show. Go back and watch the old ones, you'll find it. Okay, all right.
Somewhere, hopefully.
Somewhere, yes.
In almost every episode we've made. Everyone
thinks it's probably in the worst episode of all time is the one where you're talking about the most. Okay, let's get started here. 25 minutes on the clock.
I thought the worst episode, though, was the extremely bad Christmas special review.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Where I did not say anything.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Okay. Here we go. Let's go through our topics here. First off, let's talk force construction. What do we guys think about the rules and the tactics surrounding force construction? Like it? Hate it? What do you want? Let's start. So, Andrew?
Concerning building the army?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple, pretty basic. You know, you pick your guys, you point them up. Obviously, you can choose what teams you want to be together. You know, they give, obviously, special abilities for the Superman team, for the Batman team,
things
like that.
The different groups of superheroes work well together.
Yeah, they work well together. Mm-hmm. So that works really well, and that's been consistent since the previous version.
I'm going to say, yeah, I like it too. It is simple. I think, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys agree with me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we'll give 3 points for that. Also, the other good thing is it's, like I mentioned, the synergetic aspect of it. There's guys that work well together, so there's definitely some thinking involved. You know, you want to pick this unit and this unit and this unit together, and it's going to work really well.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a good thing. The one negative thing for me, I'm sure it'll come up more later, but there are obviously several characters that are very, very, very powerful compared to other characters.
Yes.
And what that's going to happen is you're going to start seeing these characters again and again and again in all the different builds.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, another Superman,
Green Lantern.
It goes down to where it's like the same thing, you know, it's just like hit or miss, you know.
Who wants to put up a haterade for the overpowered units?
Yes. Sure, yes, I'll put up a unit for some of the overpowered units. The only thing is there are some ways to counter them, like my flashes, for example. Mm. You had to corner them.
Yeah.
However,
they weren't really that overpowered.
They weren't that overpowered. There's
it was just
annoying.
The ridiculous. Mm. They were annoying. The ridiculous speed
it's
on
not
my
like
flashes.
Superman.
It's not like the Green Lantern over here who can push himself to heal. Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
That's
yes.
a little ridiculous.
And then Superman has his...
Yeah. Like, he only does have, like, 6 clicks until he's dead.
Yeah.
5 or 6 clicks. So.
But
so
push it, yourself. Okay, I move again. Once, I move again.
And he's invulnerable, too, in terms yeah. of -2 damage or whatnot.
Yeah.
So let's talk about movement tactics. What about let's say movement rules first. You guys like the movement rules?
It's simple with the tactics and the movement, you know.
And the board makes it easy so that yeah. you don't have the to only, worry about measuring.
The only thing that's a little that can be annoying is the fact that you have to take an action to move.
Yes.
That's the only thing. I mean, I'll put up one hater aid for that is just because of the fact that you have to move or take an action to move.
Most guys can't move and shoot, right? That's what you're referring to?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's definitely probably one of the biggest hater aids for me about this game. I think, Kyle, you complained about it a lot,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And this, I think this is so, really so bad is because it kills the movement tactics. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm going to say hater aid. A lot of the movement tactics just go away because what happens is the guys all cluster in the middle and they just sit there rolling dice back and forth, punching or shooting whatever it
slapping
may be.
Slapping each other?
Yeah, they like basically slap fights. Because, you know, if I move away, that's one less turn that I can attack you guys.
And it takes an action, and you could push.
And then I could push and do damage to me, and it's just...
So, I mean, would you... I would prefer being able to move and shoot in the same turn, but how about it not taking actual action to move?
Well, that's the same basic, yeah.
No, it would be different, because then you wouldn't have to push the next turn.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Where you
that would be a step in the right direction.
Where you move, it doesn't take an action, but your turn is done.
Yeah.
Ironically, eventually, WizKids with the MechWarrior game did something like that with both infantry vehicles and mechs in various ways where they can move without taking order tokens, so they wouldn't push the next round. Different rule combinations.
Yeah, so maybe in the future, somewhere down the line, that might happen. Who knows?
I mean, that would improve it a little bit, at least.
One of the problems you're going to run into is some of the characters do have a special ability that allows them to do some sort of movement attack, and that makes them really, really powerful.
Yeah.
like the Superman in charge.
Flash's move and shoot.
Superman is probably...
Superman's the worst defender. He moves up, his charge is 7 damage. What, 7 damage?
Yeah, 7 damage.
You do what, 2 damage, though, with the Flash?
Yeah, 2 at the... Well, 2 at the most, that's only if I critically hit, though.
That's nothing.
I think the irony with the Flash is it actually almost improved gameplay a little bit because it causes to go chase him elsewhere and kind of spread out the battle a little bit to the end.
In our bigger battle, it actually made it... very spread out, so that was a nice change.
But, yes, unless people take the Flash, though, it's going to go
bad. But the Flash doesn't do enough damage to be, you know...
Yeah, not it's really annoying.
That's about it.
It's like a little fly. You know, go away.
Yeah. 1 damage, what was that? But, you know, 1 damage over time, takes back
these games.
It took out Batman, it took out Aquaman.
Although Aquaman got the better.
Yeah,
Aquaman... was kind of
a 27 point figure getting six hits off of Flash.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Wherever basically the Flash was, Aquaman was right behind him. What about related to movement terrain tactics?
In terms of the
hindering terrain, blocking terrain, doors, walls, whatever, all that kind of stuff.
I like it because of the fact that, you know, each map has a good variety of obstacles and terrain on them. I mean, like the map we were playing on is a museum. There's all sorts of crap around there to move around.
But even that just breaks down into blocking terrain.
I think there's too much of it, though, on these maps. There's way too much. There's not enough open areas for people to fight in, and therefore you get clustered into one area.
I think it also depends on the map, though.
In my opinion, it is a little... It's too claustrophobic.
It's too cluttered.
Yeah. And although I really think it depends on the map, because one of the maps that I have is very open, because it's really open.
Look at this map, though.
Well, yeah, the one that comes with the starter set is...
it's kind of ridiculous.
It's kind of close, because, I mean, there's a lot of terrain here.
You basically have 3 sectors in the map, but the way it's laid out is you both pass through the first 2 sections, you know, on either side of the map, and you end up in the middle control room and fight there the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not a very well-designed map.
No.
And another kind of small hater rate, this is, you know, I'm not going to give a hater rate point for it because they're doing the best they can, but the way the terrain is laid out in these new maps where they have the identified well-defined boundaries, different colors and things, don't apply to the old maps. This is basically, you know, a flaw with the fact the old maps never had that, and they really can't fix that. But yeah, well, there wasn't really any big of an issue because back then we didn't have to worry about those kinds of things because everything was identified by a colored black line, mm-hmm. line weight.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was in the old days?
Yeah, it was just a line weight.
So thin black lines were hindering terrain, and thick black lines were walls. Yeah. Oh, well then, I'm gonna give them so sweet for the new system. Then we use colors; that's better. Different colors is always better. On the topic of walls, I wanted to mention one neat little thing is that you can bust down the walls and it's really blocking
that
terrain.
That is kind of cool. That's almost cool. Like Monster Apocalypse. Yeah.
It is.
What do you say, Kyle? Like it or not?
It is cool, but
or indifferent. We'll let you indifferent you want.
But my problem is it does create the hindering terrain.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense because, I mean, it's rubble. It's like you got to climb over the rubble to get to your opponent. So.
I mean, I'll admit it's kind of gimmicky and you really don't use it that often, but it's just kind of cool to have that option there.
It's like this guy's behind a wall and I'm on the other side. I'm going to bash right through it and go, rah!
That's kind of thematic, the whole superhero thing. Imagine the Hulk busting through, Hulk smash, and boom.
Yep. So that is one thing that I do like about that.
Anything else about movement, tactics, terrain, anything before we move on?
I think we covered most of it.
Okay. Let's move on to the combat system. Just as a general combat overall, like it or hate it? I'll go first. I'll say some aspects of combat are good, but overall I don't like it. Mm. Mainly because it just simply breaks down to you have an attack value and a defense value. You roll 2d6, and you add to the 2d6 the attack value compared to the defense value.
Yeah,
you're completely at the mercy of probability. There are very few, if there's actually one special ability that allows you to basically alter your attack value some way, and maybe two special abilities, but there are very rare circumstances that allow you to alter your actual attack value or lower the defense value in some way to adjust that probability in your favor. Games like MechWarrior, War Machine, Warhammer 40K, all these games have various mechanics that allow you to affect that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, help you neutralize probability a little bit and make it a little bit more advantageous. Where this is, it's just roll the dice, hopefully you hit.
But keep in mind, this is more of a simpler type game, simpler main type game. So,
I think it makes sense because of the fact that it's not on that kind of a scale like War Machine.
For the game that it is, actually, I'm going to say I like.
Yeah.
I like actually that type of
I do too.
Combat.
Because the other kind of related issue to it is later on in the game, say if I'm getting beat down a little bit more than Andrew is, and I'm playing Andrew, it gets to the point where I'm rolling eights and nines to hit him, and he's rolling fives and sixes hit me. It's basically, if you don't get that first couple shots in, it can be a really downhill, really miserable battle.
They have any armor or whatever.
And that's kind of, that's a little bit more of a poor figure design, but yeah.
Yeah, like the high defense. Oh, I just absorbed your one damage that you could do. Oh.
And one thing I do hate during the combat is all these special abilities, because it's really hard to keep track of.
There is a lot of special abilities.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice, but then it's just excessive, I think, in this at this point.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I like the fact there's a lot of special abilities, because it does give you a lot of tactical options.
Yeah.
And granted, there's a big learning curve to it, and, remembering my guy's got this.
Special abilities myself,
I like them, but I think they've just gone too many.
Yes,
That's what I think.
I think that comes, But, see, the reason I disagree slightly on that point is, like I said, it's a steep learning curve, but, once you know the special abilities, I don't think they're going to slow down the game too much. There's not a lot of cases where one special ability conflicts with another in some really weird way, and you got to sit there and figure crap out.
Yeah.
They're usually totally different things.
Yeah.
I think once you get over the learning curve, it'll go a lot smoother.
Yeah, I personally like it because it really doesn't... Once you learn it, it goes smooth.
But and sometimes the instructions in these two are sometimes very confusing.
That's the only complaint.
There's a few that are poorly.
Psychic.
Yes.
That's the only complaint that I have is that the wording on some of them can get a little tricky.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with that too, especially Outwit, for example.
Yeah, they changed that and it's very confusing.
I think it still works the same way, but it's definitely more poorly written than what it was before.
Yeah.
What about the ideas of limited orders?
That's fine.
I think it's fine. I think it limits the number.
We really didn't have too much problems with that.
It actually balances out the armies. It really does.
I actually think it works really well because of the fact that it makes it balanced. Because if you had too many orders, you could just do way too much.
Mm-hmm. See, I've always been against this, and I'll still continue to be against it because it doesn't make any freaking sense. I mean, granted, if it's implemented as a balancing factor, your game is designed wrong. War Machine's fine with it. Warhammer 40K is fine with it. HeroScape doesn't do it, but you know, their BattleTech is fine with it. There are a number of games where they don't need it. I mean, granted, it's probably in this case where
this game needs it because it's
this game needs it. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's the figures are overpowered.
That's what I'm saying. That's
that's why it makes sense. Well,
which goes back to your point before of not being able to, hit certain people.
Yeah,
It's because some of these figures are just way too overpowered. Like,
and that the Green Lantern, and that action ability balances it out.
But it's a kludge to fix a problem that should not have been there in the first place. Therefore, it's not good.
The problem that should not be there in the first place is WizKids. There you go. I was speaking to the punch guy.
Thank you.
Because the other thing is, you run into then. The reason I always think it doesn't make any sense is, so let's say pretend I'm fighting Ryan literally in real life. I punch Ryan and now I gotta wait for 10 seconds, otherwise I feel,
You could assume it's like a 2 second time thing.
I appreciate you waiting for 10 seconds.
You could assume it's like a 2 second thing. You know, 2 second thing between orders. Moment to think.
Yeah, but.
I'm justifying nothing here.
You're justifying nothing.
It's WizKids. That's the answer to it.
So you're defending WizKids now?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just had to clarify that. No. On a similar relate, does anyone else want to talk anything about that? Because
I'm defending the stupidity of it because it is WizKids.
Because I guess I didn't explain my point very well. I was actually getting to the pushing part than this thing. The reason is, if you've got like five characters on a team and you got three actions, the fact is. Other two just stand around there picking their noses. It doesn't make much sense to me. It's like, one guy could be in the corner getting beaten up, and he should be defending himself, but he can't because you're too busy using Superman to beat someone else down.
The other problem is things go a lot slower because of the actions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
otherwise,
the game definitely goes a lot slower.
Because if you go with everyone, then everyone moves and no one wants to push.
And it would be a pile of
And then, exactly.
The game would go a lot faster. It'd be like, okay, you're already sucked, I win.
Yeah.
It's Magic the Gathering. Oh,
it has to do with the poor design of the game.
And yes, I play Magic for those people who think I'm trying to insult it.
I brought my deck with me.
Oh, yeah, okay. Awesome.
It's just part of the poor design because it makes up for it by giving some more action by only limiting.
Yeah, all right. Well, whatever. I mean, we can go on this topic for a long
time. I'm just explaining. They're making up for poor design.
Okay. What's to go on in the next one? Pushing.
Pushing.
Who likes this? Please, no one raise their hand.
Not really.
No.
This goes hand-in-hand with the lack of command options and the fact that this also is a complete kludge to fix a problem that was never...
Called WizKids?
That's the title of our episode. The problem called WizKids.
The root of the problem is WizKids, yes. But I mean, it's
WizKids.
But it's just so,
it's WizKids resurrected. Just think of it.
I don't think WizKids ever went away.
The idea.
Producer's note. Since I was not too sure about the legality of some of the statements in the following section, I just decided to remove it.
They soon have a cease and desist order.
Jeez. Okay, now the reason pushing is so stupid, though, is it just doesn't make any sense. It never made any sense in MechWarrior, and it certainly doesn't make any sense.
Going around the circle.
Yeah, okay, that's enough. We know WizKids is the problem. Let's try to analyze it more in depth and why it's a problem. Because literally, a normal person, I can run up to someone and kick him in the face. I'm not going to strain something. I'm not going to break my leg. I'm not going to stub my toe normally.
Well, you could miss.
I could miss, but that's different. But see, even if I
miss.
That's
where critical misses would come.
Yeah, that's critical miss. I could probably, after I kick someone in the face and knock them to the ground, I probably could stomp them 4 times in a row and then kick them a few more times. And, I'm not going to feel tired.
But yeah, these Unit characters is very, and yeah, these characters are superheroes.
It kind of reminds me of our last review.
Yeah. Unit is very tired.
It's like, it's awesome, but added it to here. Only, I have to compliment them. I'm not going any farther than just doing it once.
Yeah.
Because if they would have done it to where it's like you could have tired them three, like
just
like,
remember, they get tired after running, so they can't do anything afterwards.
I would have been like, okay, this game is out of this house, burn it. Just melt the plastic, Ryan, do something.
Just remember, you get tired after running. You can't hurt someone after you're done running.
Even though the Flash is designed to run like crazy. Exactly. That's what he does.
Well, that's why you only hit and run with him, then just let him reset.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's basically in there as a balancing mechanic, but it's just a stupid mechanic. There should have been better ways to get around it.
But it's the laziness of WizKids, once again.
Yeah, no, that is really a true statement. They literally created the rule set for Mage Knight, ported it pretty much to HeroClix, and then ported it to MechWarrior. They're very similar games, you know, originally at the core root. So, honestly, lazy is kind of correct.
Pretty much.
Good thing I can't prove that.
Well, no, you can. There's three games that are identical. There's different characters. Why did my giant robots fight like ancient soldiers and medieval soldiers?
Where they can't move or shoot either.
Unless they go crazy charged into people. Ah, bumper car!
I overheated from moving and shooting.
Yeah, all right. This is just going downhill.
And that's pretty much what I do. I mean, with these type of games, I mean, I realize there's really not much of an element of strategy, so I just like, I run headlong into people.
Smack.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Smack.
That's what the Hulk is for.
And that's what gives this game to where it's like, I wouldn't want to buy it, because
I can do that with Monster Apocalypse.
Let's see. Do we got any other points you want to cover about this game?
Besides, it should be burned.
No. So, what about the stat cards?
I like the stat cards.
Okay, yeah, I'll give points to stat cards.
I really like the stat cards, because originally you had to, they didn't have stat cards, so you had to go constantly looking at this and then referring back to the
wish,
this.
I kind of wish, though, that on here, that the stat cards would just say, maybe a quick, you know.
Is that Haterade?
Whatever. I would like a quick, you know, thing plus whatever. You know, you know, have a quick, like a quick thing.
Details about what the power does.
Just a quick thing. Like a quick, like two words. If it can fit in two words in there, you know, pushes back.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Because what the different things.
You know,
What you get on the cards is you've got, first of all, you got kind of like a custom power name that kind of reflects the superhero's characteristics. Like, for example,
which I don't like.
Both Lex Luthor and Brainiac have the mind control ability, but on Lex Luthor it's called You're Mine Now, and Brainiac is called Psychic Transfer.
I don't,
So it gives them a little bit of characteristics.
It's just a characteristic for their personality.
It's the same rule.
But it's the same thing.
That's why they have it in parentheses next to it.
Yep. That's why I'd rather have something that's, you know, maybe does a little bit better, if possible, fit in. I know with the psychic one, telekinesis, that's impossibly long.
Telekinesis is huge. But
telekinesis is an exception.
It's ridiculous.
Another thing I do like and hate about these cards is they do give a bit of information about the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But according to Andrew, a lot of this information is a little inaccurate. Is that correct?
Some of it is, some of it isn't. Mind you, I haven't read the Blackest Night comic book, so things can change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't read this one, because they did resurrect a few people.
But I do like this.
Yeah. That is really nice. I really like that myself. So that would be one for me.
Okay, so Andrew likes that. And I'm going to say, I like the fact that, in opposition to Kyle, that there is no really detailed text about the various special abilities on this card. Granted, that's a little bit less convenient.
Yeah.
But Privateer Press and War Machine got away from that for a very good reason. Mm-hmm. They're duplicating the text all over the place, and if they want to change something, it becomes an absolute nightmare for them.
Yes. That way, if they want to change something, all they have to do is change this. Whereas, if they wanted to change it and they had it on there, they'd have to change every single one of those.
Yes.
So I like that myself.
People would come with old cards,
yep,
and it would just be, ugh, it's like a tournament. And whatever.
And people at tournaments would be like, no, that's incorrect. That's an old card. Mm-hmm. Can't use that.
Yeah. I remember the days of MechWarrior where the guy who ran the tournament literally had a binder of like FAQs, because this unit stat was changed and this card was changed with this text. And the darn FAQ book was longer than the actual rule book. You remember those days?
Yeah. The only fun tournament at all was the
Solaris 7.
Oh, the Solaris 7 rules were awesome.
Yeah, that was the only fun tournament at all in there.
Now, I should say, I don't know if WizKids is going to continue with their like tournament scene and prize support.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with their crappy game making.
Oh, well, I'll talk about that. Remind me at the very end about that.
I don't think you're going to need to be reminded.
Well, after we do our final reviews, bring that topic up one more time, and I got one thing to say about
the releases.
Yeah, because one thing that WizKids always did really well was their tournament scene.
Mm-hmm.
They always had supported tournaments at local venues. They were always pretty well run. The best thing I liked about them, the fact that they did a tournament style when you showed up these things. If you showed up with figures, you're guaranteed to play a game, and I really liked that. It wasn't like where some venues where it's open gaming where you kind of show up and all the people who know each other kind of, you know, play a game and you sit off the side and watch. It doesn't happen at WizKids events. So I really hope that if WizKids does support this game further, they do bring that back, because that was one of their strongest things and best things they ever did.
And this would actually be a really fun, quick tournament game.
This
would definitely make for a really quick tournament game.
WizKids designs tournament games. That's like their big thing they do.
I think it would work really
as far as in tournament, and actually you can put it like on there for me too.
Yeah, for me
being a
as
tournament
well.
Game, it's good.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time for final reviews, or any last topics you guys want to talk about?
I think we have gone over this as much as we possibly could.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's count up our results in the back here.
It's about even.
It's actually about even. This is
pretty even.
You want to count the hater rates, Kyle?
You mean so sweet? I'm the hater rates.
They're just tokens.
What's the one in the middle?
That's gonna be hater rate. What'd you get?
42.
What'd you get?
42.
Oh,
dang.
But still, I mean, that's... I mean,
that's neither a good game or not a bad game.
That's kind of like an average...
It's an average game.
Average is a kind of decent side.
The average
really
game,
bad.
I'd say, is a little bit better, actually.
It's got really... I believe it's got good potential.
I don't want to say that word, though. I just say it's a good game.
Well, potential if it wasn't WizKids making the game.
It wasn't WizKids making the game.
So if it was someone else, like, say, Privateer Press...
I think it would have some good... It took a game that had potential and then just crapped on it, so, I mean...
What about Grind?
Grind is awful.
Oh, yeah.
We won't talk about
this. I don't think that had potential. The game was bad.
Grind is a bad game. This is a good game.
Yeah.
Well, better game.
Yeah, better game. There's a difference between bad and good, you know?
Yeah.
You know, good is better than bad, so...
Well, I'm just making sure that you said good game.
I don't mean a good game. I just mean a good game.
Here we go. Okay, guys, we're going to hand out four random cards here. In the upper right-hand corner, they've got the basic figure number. We're going to do our final reviews in the order of the figure number you have. So I don't have any dice in front of me. So you get that one, you get that one, you get this one, I get this one. So what numbers everyone got? I got 3.
6.
4.
5.
Okay, going first. Final review. As much as I probably wanted to come here and just totally destroy this game, it's not awful. It's not good, though. It's not... And the whole lack of movement and shooting, the fact that eventually this becomes a total clusterfuck in the middle, is not the kind of game I want to play. I'll honestly go back to playing Warhammer 40K. I'm not going to go further this game. Who was next?
I was next.
4.
Okay.
I'd have to say that... Unfortunately, this is one of WizKids' better games, but at the same time, it's a WizKids game. And therefore, it means no moving and shooting.
I've heard this the whole...
You know, these poor figure qualities with, you know, great designs on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so many things that WizKids does wrong to these games that just honestly takes any potential out of a game and ruins it.
You know what I think? I think why I don't hate this game as much as I hated what they did with MechWarrior is the fact that since I'm not a comic book person, not a superhero person, I'm not going to take the personal offense that I would as a BattleTech fanboy for the way they just destroyed MechWarrior. Okay, who's next? Do you have anything else? Are you done?
So, I mean, if I don't know enough about comics to say any about details or whatever, but...
I'm pretty sure Superman can run and punch you in the face in one action. Yeah. Actually, he can in these games. Wait,
he can.
How about someone who's not Superman? Like, of Land and Flash is a terrible example.
How about
these little guys can run and shoot their guns?
They can't.
No, they're not capable.
You're right, they're too stupid.
Sorry, they're too stupid.
Wonder Woman, then. She can do it. She can charge.
Remember, Commissioner Gordon can't. He tires out too easily.
Commissioner Gordon can't. Okay, who's next in line for final reviews?
I got five. Go for it. Personally, for me, final review, I mean, like I said, I've had the original Star Set. Me, I might get it. It depends. So, I like it. I think they were pretty consistent in making this from the previous version. So, overall, I think it's good compared to the previous version, for me at least. I haven't had the unfortunate misfortune to experience the WizKids stuff that you guys have.
Last question. Did they ever implement set retirement in HeroClix? Do you know if?
I don't remember. They might have, for all I know.
Due to overpowering figures and they need to force people to buy new ones. I've never had
the been in the tournament. I've just always bought the boosters and whatnot and played with some of my friends.
Okay, well, go ahead. Okay.
I like it. It's pretty consistent compared to the original one back in 2002. So.
Yeah, well, overall, I mean, non-discriminatory. I think it's a good game. I know I personally probably want to buy it. The only reason I probably buy it is for the figures for HeroScape custom figures. That's probably the only reason why I would buy the figures. But I'll probably end up just taking Jason's.
Yeah, you probably would. And no, you're not going to take them right now.
I want the Flash.
The blue Flash?
You want the blue Flash?
The blue Flash? Yeah. Go buy your own starter set. We need this game. I need to hold on to the figures to the end of the year, so. All right. So with that, I guess what I was going to say, the reason... What was it? You mentioned something about bad game design or something?
With kids and bad games.
The reason I was going to mention that again was, even though this is a new company, this is still basically the old DC HeroClix game. They didn't change it a whole lot. In all honesty, they couldn't really change it a whole lot. Otherwise, they have to, A, do some kind of massive retirement of all older figures, or basically risk just destroying the game in itself. Or creating a bunch of hyper super powerful figures as you re-engineer the rules from the ground up. So the end result is, this can't be a true judgment of the new WizKids company. I got to reserve my judgment on this company until the end of the year, when they've announced they're going to be creating a Star Trek game. Star Trek Space Combat game. It says it'll be out for Christmas time, so either we're going to do...
Are we going to have pocket models?
I don't know. They've not said what it's going to be. All they say it's going to be a Star Trek game. I don't think they even mentioned Space Combat, to be honest with you. So they may have built like Captain Kirk and Captain Picard running around with their faces.
Captain Pocket Model Kirk.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Wow.
So that when that game comes out at the end of the year, that'll be the true test of whether the new WizKids company is truly an awesome game company, or if they're just going to be like their guys they replaced. Mm-hmm. So like I said, that's either going to be a review at the very end of the year, depending on when it comes out, or it'll be pushed to the early 2011. I'm not quite sure yet. So...
All right, 2011.
All right, well, we got a plan ahead.
Oh, I just can't believe it.
Yeah. Any last comments about anything here before we sign off?
Can I melt the figures?
No, you cannot melt the figures. Like I said, we got to have them at the end of the year.
Can I melt them?
Possibly.
Okay.
You can melt his figures.
No.
I can do that, too. Free of charge. Don't worry.
Free of charge. Okay, so let's end the show here. We're just kind of rambling at this point. So everyone, thanks for watching. If you're in the United States, have a happy, awesome, and safe 4th of July, and go blow some fireworks up, hopefully.
I thought you said blow something up.
Go blow something up.
Oh, that's nice. We're going to have the FBI on.
I got to make sure I had fireworks and I made up the terrorist watch list, because I probably would do that, too. But this guy's...
Yeah, anyway. Jason, he's crazy.
Yes. Questions or comments, send them to me over at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. Of course, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. And a total random Twitter shout-out here. If you're not following the Twitter account BP Global PR yet, you should, because that guy is hilarious. It's a satirical, basically making fun of BP. He's basically acting as like a fake spokesperson for them. He is just hilariously offensive, and I love it. So, Twitter, Ryan.
Our Madman 4, as always.
You use your Twitter at all?
On and off, Duke underscore Nukem 1.
And I'm the one who just doesn't do it
just
because...
doesn't give a crap.
I don't give a crap.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's his call. Oh, yeah. Steam is Rocker Robotics, if you want to play something like Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah. And my Steam is Duke Space Nukem.
And I do not use... I don't play online Steam.
I do Left 4 Dead 2, Team Fortress 2, and...
We really got to get you in Left 4 Dead 2. The game is so much fun.
And,
it really is one of the
Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising.
It's a cooperative game. You play competitively, but you just
play competitively. Versus mode.
Yeah. All right, well, once again, thanks for watching. We'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.